Blog Talk
Hello,
Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'm broadcasting this week from my daughter's place in Florida. I'm here visiting for the Christmas season. Linda is back with her two daughters and our grandkids, and I'm out here in Florida. For the first time in 14 years, I get to spend Christmas with all five of my kids. Thanks again for joining me today. You're going to find out that this program is like no other program in Christian media. You're not going to hear anything like it. You're probably not going to read anything like it. It is not about the status quo stuff that Christian broadcasters talk about. I'm not going to talk about what you can get from God and how you need to go about doing that. There's no 10 steps to this or 7 steps to that. This is, the name of this show is Real Life with Rich in Christ. And that's not about me. That's about you. You're rich in Christ. Even if you don't know it, you have Him living His life in and through you and as you today. That's biblical. In fact, anything else that says anything different is heresy, and it falls in line with what Paul called the different gospel, which is no gospel at all in Galatians 1, 6, verse 7. And so today I was thinking, what am I going to talk about today? And you know, I have a chapter in my book, I have a 31-day devotional called Rich in Christ, and it's not about me either, it's about you. And one of the chapters in it is called Dirty Christianity. And, you know, I love the dirty passages in the Bible. I love the dirt, you know, where the mud and the blood and the beer verses. Like, you know, Peter calling down curses on himself. And Isaiah proclaiming to God that he's a man of unclean lips and he dwells among a people of unclean lips after he's, you know, he has this encounter with this probably pre-carnate Christ, this who probably was, the angel of the Lord. Just the verses, Jesus overturning the temple, the money changers. Because what it does is it blows religion right out of the water. It shows you how Christianity has nothing, real Christianity, has absolutely nothing to do with religion. In fact, religion is diametrically opposed to the life of Christ because religion is you trying to be like Christ. That's what religion is. It's you trying to please God or be acceptable to God by some form of righteousness that you have either learned by yourself or have been taught that is acceptable to God. And that can be perfect behavior, that can be performing, that can be any number of things. That can be being in a leadership position because you're a good boy or you're a good girl and your daddy now approves of you. And you know, all of this stuff that we deal with in the natural realm, there's a parallel to that in the spirit. And there is the life in the spirit, and there is the life in the flesh. And the two will never meet. They are parallel one to another for eternity, with no beginning and no end. And that which is of the flesh is the flesh. And that which is of the spirit is the spirit. And the problem is, most believers today, because they live in an immature, self-preserving state where they don't allow God to have their whole heart, where they give lip service to God, but He does not have the center of their life. Let God touch the center of what's at the center of your life. If your ministry is at the center of your life, just let God have it. Today, just say, God, I don't need this ministry. I don't want it. All I want is you. God, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ because I don't need anything but you. Lord, I want to be like Paul. I want to count all things as loss. What do all things include? All things. Your stuff. Your aspirations, your goals, your hopes, your dreams, your vision, your idea of what your family is going to be, your idea of what your life is going to be. That's what all things are. That's what Paul said. He gave up for the surpassing greatness of knowing, not knowing about, not more worthless seminary head knowledge, but real dynamic, intimate, alive relationship. That's what Paul counted all things as loss in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. And if you want to know him and the power of his resurrection, where Paul says to be able to attain to the resurrection, if that was possible, and it is, and the only way it is to let God roll death in on everything that you call life today and let him take that through the cross and raise it up in newness of life with no taint of your stuff on it ever again. With no more control, no more manipulation, no more deals, no more bargaining. It's God, and only God, and only now. Can't remember who it was. It wasn't Oswald Chambers. It was one of the other powerful old preachers. He said, if we're ever to grow up in God, we have to forever get rid of the word from our vocabulary, what, where, why, when, and how, in relationship, through our relationship with God. We have to let God have his way and let his plan unfold as his plan unfolds, like it unfolded with Rahab the prostitute, like it unfolded with Zacchaeus the thief, like it unfolded with the woman who broke her perfume, which was a symbolism of her weakness. And what did she do to earn that perfume for a year? She was a prostitute. You can put one and one together and you can figure out what she did to earn money to buy that perfume that she broke over Jesus' feet. And that perfume was a sweet-smelling savor to God, not to the religious Pharisees that were in the same room, saying, does he know where this woman has been? Well, if the truth be told, they were probably with her at one point or time or another. That's probably the truth. When they're religious, I thank thee, O God, that I'm not like this man, was a stench, and it still is a stench in the nostrils of God. God hates religion, and I hate religion almost as much as he does. And if you're a real believer, a real true believer who loves God and wants everything God has for you, not for yourself, but to be the vessel, the branch, the lamp, the temple, the container of God. And if you want that, then you will hate religion in the same exact way. And so you're living your real life today. And your real life is not at all like your life in the lobby of the church when you walk into the church. Your real life has nothing to do with sitting there and being pious with that plastic smile on your face, because all the other plastic phonies are there smiling too. Well, your real life is probably something to do with, you know, fighting with your wife on a continual basis, or kids that are going crazy, that are out there doing drugs and hanging out with your definition of the wrong people. That's what your life really is. Your life is broken and strained relationships, stressed to the max, and you put on airs because you believe that God will be displeased if you actually show who you really are. When the truth is, God cannot stand the man or woman that stands before him and says, I thank thee, O God, that I'm not like this person or that person. I thank thee, O God, that I am a former alcoholic, former drug addict, former pornography addict. I thank thee, O God, that I can't control myself. I thank thee, O God, that you revealed yourself to me in weakness when I couldn't do one thing to live the Christian life. I thank thee, O God, that you revealed your rest and your peace and your joy to me in the middle of nothingness. And then you took me from there and you showed me the foundation that's already laid, which is the unconditional, no strings attached love of God, knowing that he'll never leave me or forsake me, no matter what I do or don't do. I thank thee, O God, that you showed that to me on a bar stool and at a pool table 10 years ago, not in some religious setting that actually sickens the heart of God, if the truth be known. 99.9% of what's out there today is a stench in the nostrils of God. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God, the grace of God flows like water, and it always flows to the lowest place until it can find a lower place to flow. That is the grace of God. The grace of God is the power of God that enables you to call yourself a believer and nothing else. And the mercy of God is the power that enables, that takes you to grace and nothing else. We can't go before God with anything. We have nothing. We are nothing. And that's exactly what God wants us to know today. So what are you dealing with? And it's exactly where you're supposed to be. This is the good news, folks. The good news is you're freaking this functional setting, whatever it is right now, is the gateway for you to know the God of all grace. Your weakness that you deal with, whatever it is, that you ask God to remove 1,000 times. Remember Paul? 3 times he pleaded with God to remove it. Well, you know what, folks? Human nature, that just doesn't make any sense. The theologians that wrote that, maybe they didn't go to the cross. Maybe they knew nothing about a union relationship. Because nobody goes to God 3 times when there's a thorn in their flesh. 300 maybe, 3,000 maybe. Maybe what the writer meant to say and has been misinterpreted because of instant Christianity, which is instant blessing, the crap that Osteen and the crap that Myers preach, okay, the instant crap that is not Christianity. You want a microcosm of Christianity? Go to Psalm 66, verses 8 through 12. You'll see what real Christianity is. And so maybe Paul's 3 times were 3 long seasons. Maybe those seasons were 5, 10 years long. Because that makes more sense to me. That makes more sense to me as God using the thorn in the flesh to buffet him, which means to hit around the area of the head, which means the fiery darts of the enemy, which means trying to think the thoughts of God when you're believing you're still independent of God, not knowing that you have the mind of Christ. That's buffeted. There's no more buffeting than trying to live Christianity in your strength. You want to have the hell beat out of you? You want to have the hell beat out of you by the powers of darkness? Keep trying to live the Christian life in your own strength, because it's going to come to nothing. It's going to be valueless. Remember Solomon? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. That word means no value. This is the man who was the equivalent of the sheiks in Saudi Arabia today. The prince who just built himself an island resort that is 7 square miles of opulent million-dollar dwellings for 120,000 people. This is the guy who has the riches equivalent to him, probably 10 times more than him, having everything at his fingertips that we all want and desire. And him coming to the end of his life and saying, nothing has any value except God. A friend of mine sent me an image that was taken by the Hubble telescope today. You can see it on my timeline. It looks like an eye. It's got a cross in it, and it looks like there's a body on the cross. That was taken by a Hubble telescope 31 million light years, which is nothing to God, because God isn't a captive to time. God can show up whenever, however, and whyever he wants to at any time. And that's why you're going through your trial today. That's the reason why your kids are going crazy. Because you cried out to God one time to know him and to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and God took you up on it. And now everything in your life is a chaotic mess. And if it isn't, it will be. And if it never is, that's the time to look out. If you're living that plastic, mannequin, phony, BS crap that Joel Osteen tries to proclaim as Christianity, God help you, because you will never know Christ in you as your all in all. You will never know the one who, from the foundation of the world, saw you and saved you before Jesus Christ took a step on planet Earth. You'll never know what it is to be the vessel of God, to be poured out for others. You'll never know what it is to embrace weakness and know that there's no other place the power of God can come except in your absolute nothingness. You'll know exactly what Joel Osteen knows, which is nothing. Paul said, the weight of glory. The weight of glory is nothing when he's looking at his light momentary afflictions. Light momentary, really, Paul? Being beaten, being flogged, being left for dead, being shipwrecked, being hunted down by Alexander the coppersmith, and who knows what else, all the dangers that you face, dangers from your brothers, dangers from false teachers, dangers, dangers, dangers. Read the list. And Paul says that is a light momentary affliction in comparison to what he saw as the goal of his life, which was to know Jesus Christ as his life. And you may think I'm talking today from head knowledge, or that I'm some kind of a Bible thumper. I've lost everything several times. I'm here with my kids for the first time. All of us are together for Christmas in 14 years. My kids turned on me because their mother turned them against me for many, many years. And I cried out to God. Why God? What God? When God? Where God? Why God? Every one of those. Until God just used whatever it was in the day to bring me to the end of all of that and see that that seed that I was holding on to was nothing in comparison to what was going to come out of it once it was planted in death and raised up in newness of life. That seed you call your life, my kids, my job, my life, that seed is all about itself. And Jesus said, a grain of wheat falls to the ground, and it's always good to fall. Because then you're down at that place where grace meets you. And that seed falls to the ground, and it's buried, and it abides to itself in a dark, damp, pressure-filled area. And then the outside of that seed begins to take on a transformation. It begins to soften because the elements around it are causing it to soften. And then the seed outside husk of that seed breaks and new life springs forth. Now it will spring forth, said Isaiah. Will you not be aware of it? I'll make a roadway in the desert. That's what God wants to do in your life today. But you've got to get real with God. You've got to stop playing religious games. You've got to stop thinking your church, your Bible reading, your tithing, your leadership, and anything else you think you're doing for God is a stench to Him. And the only thing that He loves is the same thing that woman broke over Jesus' feet. Weakness. Total and complete, absolute abandonment to God. That's what He's waiting for. Nothing else. And as long as you continue to work, because you're working for God. You're working for God. As long as you continue to work for God, go ahead, work away, because He's resting. And the second you enter into His rest, the Spirit of God, who is the only true worker, He will take up your cause, and He will and do within you for His good pleasure. That's what Philippians 2:13 says. That's a phone call coming in. Talk about real life, huh? But this is it, folks. This is the down and dirty of it. Last night, my boys were singing karaoke because they both sang because I sang, and they learned from singing because I sang, and we all sang, and that's how we coped, living in all of the dysfunction. There's always 70s music on, and they sing. And so they were at karaoke last night, and they were singing. And my son has a mirror of the life that I have, with all of the dysfunction and all of this stuff. And last night, after all of that, we got done, we came home, and we had an amazing talk where the Spirit of God showed up. And both of my sons were drinking. I wasn't, but they were. And do you think that deterred the Spirit of God to work in their life? Do you think that had one thing to do with anything that the Spirit had planned from the foundation of the world to work in and through them last night, through that little talk that we had, where God allowed me to have them as my captive audience as I shared my 56-year story with them? That's real life. That's real life. That's the stuff that we deal with on a daily basis. You're going through something today. You're losing your house. You're losing your job, or you've lost your job. And your identity is there, so you've lost your identity. Your ministry is failing. Something's going on. Strained relationships. Everybody thinks you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and your kids can't stand you because they know the way you really are. And so you try to compensate by doing more for God or more for the church. And the church reinforces it because you've got to be working for God in order for God to do anything for you, which is the lie of the different gospel that comes from another Jesus, a different spirit, and another gospel, 2 Corinthians 11:3 and 4. You can look that up too. We're surrounded by chaos and dysfunction. We're products of the fall. We're products of Genesis 3, where we asked for an opportunity to choose, and we got it. And in James 3:16, he says, along with that choice came confusion and every evil work. That's what we get. But you know what the good news is? The one who's living inside of you loves you right now, as you are, and couldn't love you any more than He loves you. You cannot do anything for God, so stop it. The only thing you can do is put your hands straight out, your clenched fists, put them straight out right now, because I'm doing it. Put your clenched fists straight out, and the life that you're holding on to, that you are saying is yours, and giving God lip service and telling him it's his, but in reality, you're holding on to it. Now open up your hands. Because what can you give up with your fist clenched calling it yours? Your ministry. That's an affront to God. You can't minister to anybody. And God help you if you try, and God help the person who's ministered to by you if you're ministering minus the Spirit who is the only minister of life. Open up your hands and let God have your life. Release what you're holding on to. When I went through my time with my kids, I woke up one day in a panic attack. And I screamed out my kids because my ex-wife just married a guy who was a crack addict, alcoholic, manipulating, thieving liar. And my three young daughters were living under the same roof. Womanizer, besides. And I woke up in a panic. And the Lord said to me, release, rest, and receive. Three words that he'd been teaching me over 20 years at different seasons in my life. And he brought them all together right there. Release what you're holding on to. Look at your life. You're alive by me. You should have died when you drove your car over the Oliver Bridge in 25 below zero weather. And you had a gash in your head where your down jacket looked like somebody dipped it in blood when you were 18. Do you remember that, Rich? How many times should you have died? You should have died when that guy took the baseball bat across your face. I mean, all the times that I should have been dead, driving, blacking out as an alcoholic, tripping on acid, driving 70 miles an hour down the highway with my friends in fog. I'm still here to talk about it. And God showed me all of these things that I've lived through. And he said, look what I've done in your life. You don't think I can't handle my kids? He called them his kids. I said, whose kids are those? They're my kids. You're my kid, Rich. Release them to me. Then he said, rest. Rest in the fact that you know I am, you're loved no matter what you do. You know that. And you can't do anything to make me love you anymore. Rest right there. I love you, Rich Novak, in your skin, with your hot temper, and you're cussing, and all the stuff you deal with. I love you exactly as you are. And I am going to use you for my glory. And then when you've released everything and you're resting in me, you're ready to receive the next thing. And that can be the next trial. That can be the next sickness. That can be the next lost job. During that time, I applied for somewhere between 100 jobs. I was offered 7, and 7 were rescinded because I didn't have enough sales experience. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'm sharing with you guys and letting you know this is the real life of Christ. This is real Christianity. This is from my heart. This is what God said for me to share today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to minister your life, because apart from you, I can do nothing. I thank you, God, that right now you're opening the eyes and I'm stopping the ears of those who really desire you, God, and want everything you have for them and are ready to surrender their life to you exactly as they are right now without any strings attached. God, just minister your power to them right now in their weakness. I got a book, Real Life with Rich in Christ. If you contact me on Facebook, I'll send you a free copy. Around the world, postage paid. Until next week, when I'll be broadcasting from here again, God bless.